Blog Talk Radio.
Hey y'all, it's Chad Bearden, and you're listening to Weekdays with Murph.
I'm trying to remember someone I can't forget. Like a song I don't know that I can't get out of my head. Can't seem to shake the
taste. Hi listeners, and welcome to another edition of Weekdays with Murph. Today on the show, we welcome super talented singer-songwriter Sydney Lett. We'll talk with Sydney about her career, music, and anything she's working on that she can talk about. And full disclosure here, folks, I've been waiting on this interview for pretty much the second we booked it. So, with that being said, let's go ahead and welcome the lovely Miss Sydney Lett to the show. Hey, Sydney, how are you?
Thank you so much. I am doing great. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you again for doing this today.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me. I've been so excited. Like, I've been probably more excited about this one than a lot of others, so just don't tell anybody else, okay?
you're a secret safe with me.
Okay, perfect.
And like I said in the intro, I've been excited about this interview since we booked it because I've been a fan of you for I couldn't even tell you how long.
Oh, that means so much to me. I've been equally a fan of you for as long. Like, I love what you do, and I love the fact that you showcase so many different people. And you are such an amazing, like I just said before we were live, like you're like the human version of sunshine. So anyone that gets to be on your show is very lucky.
All right, folks, it's your show. I'm going to go cry now.
No tears, only happy tears. Those are the only ones allowed.
Absolutely. So I do like to start off pretty much every interview with the same question or two. Just kind of tell the listeners how you got into the music business in the first place.
Oh my gosh, so that's a long story. So I've always loved music pretty much my entire life. I grew up listening to the old school country music, so Dolly Parton, Loretta Lynn, Patsy Cline. My grandpa was a giant Johnny Cash fan, so I grew up listening to a lot of that. And I think I was 10 years old when I wrote my first song and really started wanting to play guitar. And my mom took me to a couple, like, karaoke nights when I was that age because she didn't really know where to take a young girl to learn how to sing or be an artist. And I told her, I think I just turned 11, I was like, Mom, I want to be a country star. And she was like, I went to law school. I have no idea how to help you with that, but we'll figure it out. And we did. I started playing open mic nights when I was probably 11, 12 years old, and our local talent show. I'm from outside of Des Moines, Iowa. And so I started doing that and playing with a local band in Wisconsin called the Back Home Boys and got invited to open for Blake Shelton and a few other artists through knowing them. So after that, I was hooked. It kind of just pulled me in, and I've been in it for the last 15 years now.
Nice. I sort of have a similar story as to how I got into, I've been playing guitar now for the last maybe 10 years or so. I've been playing guitar. And I actually, I played a time or two with a local band, and it's the only time I ever play out. I played a few years ago at a local 4th of July party. And
oh, that's so
I'm
fun.
I'm hoping to do that again this year because the last couple of years it didn't happen because of obvious reasons. But I'm hoping that happens again this year, but I've been a fan of country music pretty much ever since I was about 5 years old. So
oh, that's awesome. That sounds like me. I think when you grow up listening to it and it's all you know, you realize how unlucky you are to have grown up that way. I feel like a lot of my friends didn't grow up that way. Yeah, so I'm trying to, like, show them the ropes. I'm like, yes, there's some really great modern music, but, like, we got to go back and appreciate the old school stuff because that's where we all came from and started from.
Absolutely. I remember my first introduction to country music. I was, like I said, 4 or 5 years old, and it was George Strait's debut album. I had it on a cassette tape, and yes, mm-hmm. folks, I'm aging myself here. I absolutely, I wore that tape out, you know, just mm-hmm. Top to bottom. I absolutely wore the thing out.
Oh, and I love that. I love when you can listen to the first song and listen all the way through to the last song and actually get to hear the artist's whole story. I love that we're able to release singles so easily now, but I kind of miss the days of being able to, like, be excited for a whole record and listen to the whole thing and fall in love with the entire experience and not just the song.
Oh, me and you both. There is mm-hmm. absolutely nothing I love more than listening to a full album top to bottom because you get everything the singer was going through at the
exactly.
time that they made this album. So
mm-hmm. it's a chapter in their life, and I feel like there's so many albums that I relate to, like, being a chapter in mine. Like, it's crazy to think about, like, what that becomes for somebody else. And, like, George Strait probably has no idea how many people feel that way about his albums, and it's crazy to think the impact that music like that has.
Absolutely. And mm-hmm. and I'm lucky because I live about 2.5 hours from Nashville. So
that's perfect.
So that is like my absolute favorite city in this world. I go pretty much every chance I get. And
mm-hmm.
it's I've spent so much time in Nashville that I'm surprised they haven't officially adopted me at this point.
You might as well just move there at this point. I love that town. There's a magic in that town that, I mean, no matter how it changes, I think that'll always be there. Like, whenever I drive, so I live in North Carolina, whenever I drive to Nashville, I'm usually there, like, once a month. Like, when I drive over the bridge, like, across the river, and I can see the skyline, like, I cry every time. Ever since I was 13, the first time I went there, like, always makes me cry being there.
Like, my favorite, one of my favorite things to do in Nashville is just, it's just drive down Broadway with the windows rolled down and just hear the music come out of mm-hmm. bars.
Oh, my gosh, you're so right on that. Because there's so much talent down there. Like, you walk into any bar, and whoever you hear, it's absolutely amazing. Like, it's crazy the amount of talent in that town. It's wild.
Oh, 100%. Okay. The next question I did have for you is, if you could go back and change one thing about your career to this point, would you, and
mm-hmm.
What would it be?
Oh, I saw your interview questions earlier. Like, that was one that, for one, I've never been asked, so I appreciate that. I love that. Honestly, I feel like there are so many things that a normal person would probably change about how my career is going, but I also feel like I wouldn't be the person that I am if I went back and did anything differently. Like, there were a lot of struggles and hard moments in my career, but I feel like all of those moments had to make me the person that I am, and also by that, the writer that I am. And I feel like I wouldn't be able to tap into my feelings so easily, I guess, if I hadn't been through hell, I guess, so to speak. But no, I don't think I would. I think I appreciate the entire journey, and it's definitely not been an easy one and still isn't an easy one, but I think it's played out exactly how God wanted it to. So I'm just going to just keep going and see where it takes me.
There's a saying that I always refer to a lot that says, and let's see if I can get this right, it says normal people want their scars to heal, but creative people want to stick their finger in it, make it hurt a little bit more.
Oh my gosh, I love that. That is so true. So true. And it's funny too, I feel like as a songwriter, it's so much easier to write about being sad than it is to write about being happy. Like, I feel like writing about your struggles and, like, what you've been through is, like, so much easier to tap into than writing a happy, fun, like, at least for me, my experience in that has always been, I'll go to a sad ballad in a minute before I'll write a happy song.
Oh, especially in country music. I mean, country music to me is like the sad song capital of music.
Oh my gosh, 100%. Like, I feel like most of the legendary country songs are based on some kind of sadness or tragedy, which, I mean, is totally relatable, and there's not many genres that are that honest in their storytelling. I think that's why I love country music so much. It's very vulnerable.
One of my favorite classic country songs is He Stopped Loving Her Today.
Oh my God, that's such a good song. Legendary. George Jones, ugh, he's so good. Absolutely amazing. That caliber of artists, like that entire generation of music was something that we are all lucky to have as country music fans. Like it's crazy to think where we started.
And a few years ago, I remember watching Ken Burns' country music special,
mm-hmm.
and at that point, I was just sort of getting into the industry through this podcast or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in it maybe 4 or 5 years at that point, but that documentary absolutely slapped me in the face as far as things I didn't know in this industry, you know.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing. I've learned, like, I had a really good friend of mine that I met. If he's listening, hi, Ed. But I live outside of Charlotte, North Carolina now, and I randomly met a guy at Walmart, of all places, named Ed Robinson, and he was one of the original country music program directors and one of the first ones in the Charlotte area. And something he shared with me that I didn't know was that Charlotte was actually the first country music capital of the world, I guess, back in the 30s and 40s. And so Bill Monroe and the Cash family, I mean, a lot of people were here before they were in Nashville. And so learning that was kind of crazy because I ended up in Charlotte from Nashville through NASCAR, and I did not have any idea the country music history that was here when I got here. So it's definitely crazy. It's very much I feel like if you're going to be a country music fan, you got to study the whole story, the entire side of it, because you got to appreciate where we came from to appreciate where we are, I feel like.
Oh, agreed, 100%. Okay, something else I'm really curious about, when everything is said and done with your career, say 30, 40, 50 years down the road, and you've played the Grand Ole Opry multiple times, you become an Opry member. what impact or legacy would you like to leave in this industry?
Wow, that is that's a really great question. I honestly feel like I just want to leave the kind of impact that shows people that they don't have to change who they are for anything. I feel like as an artist, it's so easy to be roped into a million different directions, and it's so easy to listen to people around you telling you who to be and what to say. And I feel like if I could leave anything behind for the next generation or for my future kids or future country music artists, fans, anyone in the industry, I would say, like, I want to be the person that shows you that it's completely okay to be everything that you were made to be and not to change that for anybody. You have to be authentically you. There can only be one you in the world, and you were put here for a reason, and you have to chase that and not let anyone else take that from you.
I absolutely love that. The reason I ask that is I've been in this podcast industry almost 10 years now, like I said earlier.
That's awesome.
And I've kind of been thinking about my impact or legacy in the podcast industry and what I want to leave behind, you know?
Exactly.
And I think beyond anything that I do professionally with this industry, I think I just want to be known for just being a good dude, you know?
Oh, I promise you will be known for that. You have the most amazing heart and soul that a lot of people that I've known, and I promise you, you will definitely leave that impact. You make that impact already, so.
And again, I'm going to go cry now.
Hey, we said there was going to be a lot of tears in this interview before we even started it. So.
Exactly. So
we promised them what they got. Yep.
This is sort of a fun question for you.
Mm-hmm.
If you weren't an artist, what would you be doing right now?
Oh, my gosh. So, let's see. I would probably, not to quote the great Luke Combs, but I would still be doing it in some way. I feel like I don't, either songwriting or just songwriter, maybe management on the artist side. If we completely flipped it and I wasn't in the industry at all, I've always wanted to open, like, a cute little coffee shop / open mic spot / bookstore / basically what the inside of my brain looks like in store form. And I'll probably still do that one day, but that's probably what I would be doing if I wasn't doing music.
Nice. And and I'm so glad you brought up Luke Combs, because the first time I heard
so
that
much.
Song, the first time I heard that song doing this, I might have shed a few tears. It wasn't even funny.
Same here. Same here. I remember when Luke was still playing at some of the same places I was when I still lived in Nashville, and he was driving a beat up Dodge Neon around and carrying his gear, and he was so down on himself because of what the industry, I guess, he just kind of, I mean, we all go through that spot where we're like, do we really fit in
right.
here? Do we really, like, can we really make an impact? And watching him go from that to where he is absolutely amazing. It could not happen to a better guy.
And that first line when he said, someone asked me once in an interview, what would you be doing if you wasn't doing this? I absolutely perked up because that's pretty much the exact same question I just asked you. And,
yep, exactly.
And,
I love that.
And I asked that to pretty much every single artist I ever interview. So I'm like, wait, did he just say that? What is happening
that's
right
so
now?
Crazy. You're like, wait, that sounds so familiar. And then you're like, mentally, did I interview Luke? Did that happen?
Yeah, it's like, did I actually just dream that?
Wait, maybe it happened and I was drunk or something. I don't know. I forgot.
We were talking about a lesson you learned in this industry earlier, but what's the biggest lesson this industry's taught you?
Oh, wow. It's taught me a lot of hard ones. I will say probably that you can't base who you are on someone else's opinion, because they're always, whether you're with a record label or a manager or in a songwriting room, people are always going to have an opinion of who you are. And I feel like you have to know exactly who you are before you let those opinions matter. You can take them for what they're worth. You can, you know, obviously accept critical criticism when it's not like, you know, somebody just being down on you, and or constructive criticism, I'll say. I haven't had enough caffeine today. But I feel like it's definitely taught me that I have to know who I am and what I want before I can be anything that I want to be. I have to know where I'm headed. I have to know what I want to say. And I feel like for a long time when I lived in Nashville, I would let other people decide who I was based on, like, hey, well, you know, this songwriter thinks that I should say this, so maybe this is what I should say. Or maybe if this record label wants to sign me, then maybe I should be what they want instead of being who I am. And I feel like you'll always find the right people and the right team, the right label, the right writers, if you are authentically yourself. And it took me, I mean, I'm 25 now, and I feel like I'm just starting to understand that and realize how important that is. But I feel like that's probably the biggest lesson it's taught me, just as a person and as an artist, you have to be yourself. You have to wholeheartedly accept that for whoever it is and just go with it, because you'll end up where you're meant to be if you stick with that.
Absolutely. And this is totally off topic, totally off anything, you know. But I've actually I know she said that you're originally from Iowa,
I am, but you're
now living in North Carolina. I've been to both of those states.
You have, really? Oh my gosh, there's not a lot in Iowa, not a lot.
I remember I was driving through Iowa. I forget where I was going, but it was me and my family driving through Iowa.
Oh, that's awesome. There's lots of corn.
And this is hilarious. My dad, I'm about to tell off on my dad right now. My dad was absolutely enthralled with those little farmhouses. He was totally enthralled with
God.
That.
That's amazing. Oh, that's how I grew up. That's so funny. It's funny, like, watching a lot of my friends that live in North Carolina, a lot of them are from the city, and they aren't really familiar with, like, farm country. And there is a house I grew up in for a little while that we had, like, 80 acres of farmland and then 150 behind us. And it wasn't ours. It was all rented out by farmers. But I grew up literally on a dirt road with, like, no neighbors. And my friends in the city were like, what, you couldn't see another house? Like, all you could see was corn. I'm like, imagine an ocean, and it's just corn. And you can't see, you can see for miles, and it's just corn. That's it.
I live out in the sticks myself. I mean, People just moved in about probably half a mile from us, but prior to that, my closest neighbor out here was probably 5 miles.
That's awesome. See, and that, like, where I'm growing up, like, 5 miles was probably, like, still too close for me. I'd be like, nope, I can see their roof from here. I don't even bother away.
Fair point. So I do understand that like country life, I do understand that because I'm from out in the sticks myself. So there you go.
I love that. That's awesome. See, we're just good old country kids. I love it.
Absolutely. This is a fun question. Considering we're sort of having fun now, this is sort of a fun question for you.
Mm-hmm.
You're stranded on a deserted island, and you only take 3 things with you. What are you taking?
Oh gosh. Okay. So my guitar would definitely be one of them. One of my ponies, because I'm going to have to get somewhere. I'm going to have to ride around because I'm too lazy to just walk around an island and, like, pick up coconuts and stuff because I don't know what else you do on an island. So definitely my guitar, a pony, and probably just, like, an endless supply of, like, pens and paper, and then just sit out there and write and, like, just enjoy the quiet. I think those would be the 3 things I'll take. If a horse counts as a thing, maybe that's, like, a person.
Absolutely,
I don't know.
It does. 100%.
Perfect.
If I was in that situation, I'd have to have another person, because if I couldn't talk to anybody, I would just drive myself insane.
Oh, especially with what you do, that would be hard. I couldn't see. I could be okay for a little while on my own, but I don't know. I'd just talk to my horse. I feel like he couldn't judge me, or like even if he was, I wouldn't know if he was. So. Anything he said back to me wouldn't be in English, so it would be good. I could vent to him all day. I'd do that anyways. They all think I'm crazy, probably.
And speaking of your animals, I love everything you post about those animals.
Oh, thank you. They're my babies. They're my whole life, that's for sure.
I love them. Following you on Instagram is great.
It's probably very interesting. I always tell people, like, I'll warn people at shows, I'll be like, hey, follow me on Instagram, but just know that, like, I'm probably just going to post pictures of coffee, my donkeys, and my sheep that's named Kevin. That's probably going to be all you see on there. And some songs every once in a while, you know.
And I love it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
This is probably the last couple questions I've got for you, but professionally speaking, what's the best thing that's ever happened to you?
Oh, my gosh. Let's see. So I was probably 16 years old, and Mark Nestler, shout out to Mark, is one of my favorite riders and has been one of my favorite riders pretty much my entire life until I could figure out that I could pull the little booklets out of the CDs and see who wrote the songs, and I was obsessed with a lot of Mark's stuff. He's written Go On for George Strait. He's written I Just Refuse, Smile for Tim McGraw. He's had a lot of number one hits. And I was 16 years old, and we were at this, like, for 15 years old, I think. We were at this, like, Riders Round for a benefit concert for a friend of mine. And I didn't realize that Mark was playing at it. And we walked in, and they had just announced that he was up there. And I was with my mom, and I freaked out. I fangirled so hard. I was like, oh, my gosh, Mom, like, Mark Nestler, he's written all my favorite songs. And she was like, all right, well, after the show, just go up and talk to him. Just introduce yourself. And I was shaking. I was like, Mama, I can't do that. Like, that's... he won't want to talk to me. Like, I don't know what to say. Like, what do I do? And he went to get up after he played and was getting ready to leave. And my mom was like, all right, this is your last chance. So you can either be a grown-up and face your fears of being shy, or you're probably never going to get to meet him. And she was right. And I walked up to him, and I was like, I love your music. I would love to write with you. And I'm 16 years old. I'm from Iowa. Like, I've never written with anybody before, but here I am. And he kind of laughed and smiled and took my phone, and he's like, all right. He's like, I'll put my number in. He's like, I'll love to write with you. I'd love to see what you've got. And 10 years later now, Mark is basically my adopted dad. We have written almost all my stuff together, and he's considered family at this point. And so he has taught me so much about being a writer and just about the industry when he was in it. And he's still writing amazing songs. And it's just crazy how much I would be different, how much my career would probably have taken a different direction if I hadn't just gotten up that day and had the courage to walk up to him. And he's one of the most important people in my life and in my career now, so it's pretty crazy how that happened.
That is cool.
Thank
that
you.
Is
He's awesome.
So cool. You know, I have a similar story, but not as a writer, you know. One of my favorite artists of all time is Garth Brooks, okay?
Oh, I love Garth. He's amazing.
I absolutely love Garth. Well, a few years ago, I think this was 2019, 2018, something like that, Garth was playing at the listening room in Nashville, which doesn't happen.
I love the listening room. Oh my gosh.
Which that doesn't happen anymore, you know.
Garth played a small venue like that.
And it was on my aunt's birthday. And my aunt lives about probably 20 minutes outside of downtown Nashville. So it's perfect.
That is so cool.
And I call her up. I said, hey, Garth is playing at the listening room on your birthday, and I can get his tickets. You want to go? She's like, dude, are you kidding me? Absolutely, I want to go.
Oh, my gosh. You're like, no, of course I don't want to go. That's crazy.
So we go.
That's awesome.
And Garth plays probably 45 minutes-ish. And just absolutely kills it just as Garth does, you know. At the end of the show, I'm sitting there talking to a buddy of mine that I'd made friends with, and he was sort of the opener for Garth. Mom comes up to me and goes, "Hey, follow me." So I'm thinking, what's she doing now? Because if anybody out there knows my mom, this is totally on brand for her, completely. So
I love that.
So,
that sounds like my mom. I think our moms would be friends.
So she has somehow talked her way backstage to the listening room, found Garth, the security guard, tells the security guard what a fan I am of Garth.
The
security guard flags down Garth, and she tells Garth the same thing, and Garth is like, sure, bring him on back. I'd love to meet him. We go back, and it's an absolute madhouse back there, as any backstage area probably would be. But Garth comes up, I shake his hand, and I'm pretty sure I called him Mr. Brooks, because at that point my mouth and my brain were not working properly at that point.
mine wouldn't be either if I was with Garth Brooks. Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
So I was just expecting kind of like a quick, hey, how you doing? Nice to meet you. Whatever. 10-second meet and greet. No.
Yeah.
This man sits down with me and proceeds to have a full-on 10 to 15-minute conversation.
I love that. I've heard that about Garth so many times, and that just makes my heart happy. He's exactly who he appears to be, and I love that.
Who does that anymore? I mean, seriously, you know?
Right?
It was, wow.
That is so cool.
And one thing he told me, Sydney, will stick with me until the day I die. When I told him what I did with the podcast, he goes, good. Oh, we need people like you out there supporting independent artists.
So true.
I could have died right there.
That is so true. Oh, my gosh. That is the coolest compliment. That's amazing. That's definitely going to be a core memory for you forever.
I could have absolutely died right there. I'm like,
oh, my gosh. I'd be with Dolly.
When we walked out, I looked at Mom. I'm like, did that just actually happen back there?
Oh, my gosh. You wake up the next day and you're pinching yourself. You're like, did I really meet Garth? Oh, my gosh.
That's
amazing.
Dude, you just freaking met Garth Brooks. What the crap?
Oh, my gosh. Oh, that is amazing. I'm so glad you got to meet him. That is so, so cool.
And seriously, and I'm not just saying this because I met him, but Garth is seriously the absolute nicest man in this industry.
Oh, I love that so much. I have a really good friend that used to work for him, and he He said that a lot, too. He said Garth is one of the most authentic and down-to-earth people, and he's the real deal, and he will stay in a meet-and-greet lot until the very last person leaves. And I've loved that. I love that he waits for every single person and makes every single person feel special, and he genuinely loves the people that love him, and that's just so beautiful. That doesn't happen
to many
artists
anymore. Did you
know that
he's not doing stadium shows anymore after this run?
I did hear that. I don't know, though. I think he'll come back. He always says that he's done, but I think once it's in your blood, I think you'll see him do it again. That's just my gut feeling. I don't know anything about it, but I feel like that. I think he'll come back.
I don't think he's done by a long shot.
I think he loves it way too much to be done.
Absolutely. One more question for you, then I think we're gonna let you go and let you get about your evening. But
of course.
As a very, very creative person, which I know you obviously are, what inspires or motivates you?
I would say, honestly, just life and what I go through. I feel like I try to be as honest as possible in my writing just because I know that life is not easy for anybody, and I feel like if I can write about the hard things that I'm going through, then the pain that I'm going through is not wasted. So I feel like a lot of things inspire me. I could see, like, a couple running to each other at the airport, and that'll inspire me, and just life, just witnessing what's around me, I feel like it's my biggest inspiration. But my motivation is definitely just seeing my past self and my 14-year-old self and who she would want me to be and what she would want me to settle for and what she would want me to fight for. And I feel like that's what motivates me. I want to be a girl that she would be proud of and just not let myself down, I guess. And also, my ponies deserve bigger pastures, so that's another big motivation for me, too.
Well, this has been so much fun getting to talk with you today. Thank you again for doing
this. This has been awesome. Of course, thank you for having me. This has been so much fun.
Absolutely. And seriously, I mean, I say this all the time, but seriously, if there's ever anything that I can do for you, whether it's promotion for a new single or just as a friend, I mean, don't ever hesitate to reach out.
Thank you so much. Same goes for you. Like, I think you're stuck with me now.
Well, that's something I can live with.
Oh, you're so sweet.
And I don't say this often, but I feel like I should. I am rooting so hard for you.
Thank you so much. Now you're going to make me cry. That seriously means the world to me. I so appreciate you, and I'm very, very grateful that you're in my life. I so appreciate that.
I always say that if I care about you and what you're doing, I'll be your biggest cheerleader and your biggest champion, you know?
I love that so much. Well, same goes for you. I'm definitely your biggest fan and champion as well. I love what you're doing, and as an independent artist, it's really, really great to see people like you fighting for us. It's so hard to do what we do anyways, but to have people like you that are literally fighting so hard for us, right as hard as we're fighting, that not many people are willing to take that on. So that's a very special gift that you have, and don't forget that. Don't forget what you're doing for so many people. It's a very, very special thing.
Well, I appreciate the kind words, and while I'm not in the industry as a writer or an artist, I've seen the grind. I know what it takes. I've seen the tough moments. I've seen the wins, the successes, the losses. I've seen it all, and I feel like this music business is one of the, if not the toughest business to crack.
Agreed. Definitely. It's definitely a rough one. I feel like it's definitely one that's worth it if you're willing to put the fight into it, but it's definitely not worth it, or not hard, or not easy by any means. But I think anything that is worth it is hard, and I feel like if you're meant to do something and you have it in your soul to do it, you got to chase that. You got to just put the hard work in, and ultimately you'll get where you're meant to be.
Absolutely. And like I said earlier, I'm rooting so hard for you.
Thank you so much. I so appreciate you. I'm rooting for you right back.
Well, I appreciate that. And I think I'm going to let you go and let you get back to your evening. But this has been been so much fun, Sydney.
This has been so awesome. Thank you so much. I so appreciate you. This is a blast.
All right, I'll talk to you later, okay?
All right, sounds good. You have a great night, okay?
All right, you too.
All right, bye.
All right, bye. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed our interview with the lovely Miss Sydney Lett. That girl is just beyond awesome to me. Okay, next Tuesday at 4:30 Central, we welcome the incredibly talented Miss Becca Bowen to the show. So I think with that, I think I'm going to end the episode right here. You've been listening to Weekdays with Murph. Thank you and goodbye.